Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I just want to say this is one of those historical weeks. I tell you, a lot of times that people don't understand the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's speech. Basically, that's what it was, his speech. But he did more than just that. One of the things that Martin Luther King did that is not going on today, he took the church and put it inside the community. That's correct. He took the church out of the building of the church and put it in the community. And when he died, these pastors, they took the church out of the community and put it right back in the church. And that's where we at today. We have all these ministers sitting around here doing nothing, sitting around here complaining and doing nothing. That's exactly what they're doing. And that's why we're in this compromising position today. We're going to have a press conference on Tuesday at 11 a.m. at the Barron County Courthouse, where there was a deputy sheriff and a former Benhaber school teacher got on the internet and was using the N-word like it was free. So the first thing we did, we went out and made sure that he'd never use that word again. But first of all, get them terminated. So now we're going to have a press conference. We're going to have a healing process where we're going to open the door to communication, where we're going to take the steps to get things done. I just want to tell everybody, please, people out there, you have a right to stand up and fight. They're taking your rights away every single day. You know, in 2007, I wrote an article, and I quoted Deuteronomy 28, starting with the 15th verse. It simply said, if you do not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and do all these things that is right, that you, all these curses will come upon you. So we're doing what we need to do. To make sure that nothing happens unusual. So we're making sure that we're right on point, doing things that need to be done, and taking care of the business of things that's happening. But those of you out there, like I said, they tried to limit my freedom of speech, and I refused to let them. And you can stand up and fight too. We can all win this battle. So those of you out there, I ask you to stay focused. Don't lose the fight, because we can win this fight if we all work together. It doesn't make a difference whether you're black. It doesn't make a difference whether you're white. You can be red. You can even be pink. It don't make a difference. Now let us listen to a little of my good friend, my guy, Martin Luther King. Can we look into a little Martin Luther King? Like I tell you, he did more than just speak during that period of time. And he will continue to be my dad. On that note, let's listen to a little Martin Luther King.
Nobody else can do this for me. No document can do this for me. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Tennessonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation.
Thank you.
ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure.
You are listening to the Pinckney, the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. Listen, once again, we have our good friend. We have the main man, my guy, my hero, on the line again today. You know one thing that I can say about my brother? He is one of the guys that's willing to go through the fire. For the people. It's all about the people. To him, he don't care whether you're black, white, Chinese, Japanese. It don't make a difference to my brother Larry, because he's the man. Larry Pinckney, are you there? Larry Pinckney, are you there?
Can you hear me, my brother?
I can hear you now.
Okay. Well, I just want to say that it is a pleasure, a delight, an honor to be with you. You are a fighter for and with the people. Yes, I'm here, my brother.
All right. See, that's what I'm talking about. People don't know exactly what's happening in this world, but listen, we're going to tell them about it. I tell you that we had a very, very interesting week this week, not only with that Martin Luther King event, which I set up a protest of it. The reason why is that it's going to continue. Just like you said, Eric Holder was there. You had Nancy, the Speaker of the House, the Minority Speaker of the House. You had these guys speaking at a rally for us, and they said it was nothing but a sham.
That's right.
But one thing I like about it, a lot of people showed up. That I do like. Like I informed them, regardless what you say about it, a lot of people showed up, and I respect that. But the difference is you didn't have a Martin Luther King there. See, one of the things that Martin Luther King did is that most people don't really get. You know, he did some incredible things, but after he left Washington, he went down to Birmingham, Alabama, where them four little girls got blowed up.
Mm-hmm.
So he did that. These people that was at the march on yesterday, they're going to go home and go back to sleep.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So that's where we at. But listen, let's talk a little bit about the president of these United States going, I think he's making this speech, I believe it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm thinking it's Wednesday, the 28th.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are referring to Drone Man, okay, NSA, kill list, Barack Obama. Let's understand who we are referring to. We are talking about Drone Man, kill list, Barack Obama. So, let me just be blunt and say that while people showed up, you see, too many of us have been blinded and pimped. We are still being pimped by the Al Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons, you know, and the Eric Holders, and by the chief pimp, Barack Obama. The fact of the matter is that we the people, black, white, white, brown, red, and yellow people need to come together to put forth our own people's, everyday ordinary people's agenda, not the agenda of the power elite, the national and international, or the national and global power elite. This is a people struggle. It's not a pimp struggle. And we've been pimped for too long, and we're being pimped right now. But you know what? I have faith in the people. I have faith in the people. Just like Brother Malcolm X said, you know, wrong is wrong, no matter who says it or who does it. But you know what? Right is right, no matter who says it or who does it. And the beautiful thing about it is that slowly but steadily, more and more people, every day, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people are waking up. In fact, even as I call you, I'm at a community meeting in my community with some folks who are trying to expose the hypocrisy of this nation, how they pimp us. You see, they say one thing and do another. That's not just Obama. That's his minions, be it Democrat or Republican. That's what his minions do. But more and more people are awakening, and I'm proud of that. I'm so happy about it, but I know we have so much more work to do.
Absolutely. Do you know anything about this guy they call Cory Booker, I believe his name is?
Yeah.
I think he's from New Jersey. I'm not positive exactly what. They say they grooming him to be the president, not in the next election, but the one following that one. And he was allowed to speak. I have heard of him, and I know that he's not a friend of the people. He's more of a friend of the corporations. That I do know that about him. But here's the thing. He just so happened to be an African-American who they're grooming not only to be the president. I think they're going to run Hillary, but Hillary got a lot of baggage. She got more baggage probably than I do. So I don't know, Larry. You're going to have to tell me.
Well, the bottom line is that Cory Booker or any other Booker or Booger that we come up with who has been serving the system in the fallacious name of serving the people, we have to draw a distinction between rhetoric and reality. And the reality is that these folks who are out there running with the Democrats or running with the Republicans, they don't give a rat's petunia about the people. What they care about is how can they further their own interests. Just like Mr. Obama, drone man, NSA man, you know, spy man. Okay, and Cory Booker or anybody else, I guarantee you they're going to come up with all kinds of names. Oh, yeah. They're going to come up with all kinds of names.
They said yesterday, they said it was about 300,000 people, and they said they had them boxed in. They said most of them was the Department of Home Security people. They said they had the whole city of Washington surrounded. They didn't actually have on the Army uniform, but they knew that they was there. And if you carried a sign, there was a certain sign that you could not carry, and they would take the sign from you. When I saw that, Larry, I was in total shock and disbelief. And they told him if you didn't give me the sign that they was going to arrest you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like I said, wow. When I heard that, I said, amazing grace. And actually, it sounded like to me they were trying to push them into a fight.
Yeah, I think beyond pushing them into a fight, that was definitely a part of it. The other part of it is that they want to control their opposition. And, of course, the opposition, if opposition is controlled, if it is controlled, then it is not opposition. You did.
Mm.
And the fact of the matter is that as long as Obama, Holder, Sharpton, Jackson, and all these other poverty pimps can control the so-called opposition, then it's not opposition. Okay?
Mm.
They need to be dethroned. They need to be exposed. done by just everyday ordinary black, white, brown, red, and yellow people. We need to stop going for the ghosts, believing this nonsense, and really believing in a lie, a myth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the fact of the matter is that we have the power, but we only have the power if we take the power, like the preamble to the Declaration of Independence says. We the people have to take the power at such time, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, but when the government stops serving, assuming that it ever did, but when the government stops serving the need, the legitimate needs and aspirations of the people, then it's time for the people to stand up and say, you know what, I'm not fooled anymore. I won't get fooled again. You know, we need to relegate them to the dustbin of history and come up with an everyday, ordinary people's organization or party or whatever term you want to put on it, but black, white, brown, red, and yellow. We need to stop being divided. We need to stop being punked and pimped and used and manipulated by this corporate stream media, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, PBS, NBC, all of them, Fox, all of them, okay, and come up with our own people's media and understand that whether it's Obama or the Republicans, they're one and the same. They drink from the same rotten, filthy, poisonous trough, but we are the people, just everyday, plain, ordinary people.
Mm-hmm.
We're the people. Time for us to take back the power. Time for us to take back the power. Time for us to make America, and in the words of Langston Hughes, let America be America again.
Hey, you know what? You are absolutely right. It's time. And, you know, what I always say is more of us than them, but we have to put this thing into operation.
That's right.
And, you know, and the key word, all this division, you know, black, white, and all this other thing, they use color, race, and everything else to divide us up. They use the Democrats and Republicans. We don't see that there's all one, and we have to show these people what we're made of. A lot of times, I always say this, you know, we have to fight back, whether we like it or not. And the bottom line, we can win, Larry. This is something we can win. We can win if we stand up to these people. And just like you said yesterday, you know, Obama may have set that whole thing up because he wanted to see whether he could control that many people at one time. You see, I always talk about if we had a movement like they had in Egypt and some of these other countries where millions of people come out, my question is, could they control that many people at one time in a certain area? It appears to me that what that was, they was practicing to control the people. I was shocked to hear some of the stuff I got, some of the information I got. I could not believe. I am so glad that I was not there, because I don't believe that I would have been able to submit to some of the stuff they're talking about. If you got a certain sign in your hand, they take it from you. They snatch it from you. And, I believe that would have brought on probably the biggest fight they ever seen. But, I try to control myself most of the time. Because I've been in some interesting situations. This is when Ralph and myself, we almost had a big fight with the police department in Benton Harbor. They wanted to surround us, but we wanted to surround them. So it was just one of those things. But I tell you that you know, I am so happy because I would never be caught in a crowd like that. You know.
Right.
You know, because I know it was an exercise on controlling people. And that's why they had Sharpton that there. They said they cut Jesse off. They wouldn't let him complete his speech. And Sharpton and Holden and Nancy, they control most of the minutes.
Well,
that's why I say that it was Obama driven. That's what I'm saying,
course,
more than anything else.
And I believe
it was an exercise. That's what I believe in controlling people, and that's exactly
that's
what
right.
I believe. But Larry,
right.
I know you had a meeting yourself, but I want you to take about 2 minutes and just tell them something that, you know, that, that maybe can inspire my TIs or inspire somebody to encourage them, to let them know that, you know, that there's a fight out here and we're going to win this battle.
There's a fight out there and we are going to win this battle. In the words of Malcolm X, wrong is wrong, no matter who says it or does it. In the words of Thomas Jefferson, paraphrasing his words, every generation needs a new revolution, a real revolution, not a fake controlled revolution, because that's not a revolution. And we the people, I want to talk about for 3 seconds, the TIs, targeted individuals are fighting for their very lives, our very lives. We are all targeted individuals, whether we know it or not. And like Harriet Tubman said, she said, I freed 1,000 slaves. I could have freed 1,000 more if only they knew they were slaves. Okay? But once we recognize our peril, then my sisters and brothers, then we can do something about it. So I am pleased and honored and delighted to be a part of this everyday, ordinary people struggle, because we will win. La Cima Tushende Imbe La Shaka. We shall succeed without a doubt. But we have to continue, no matter what machinations, no matter what kind of lies and distortions the Obamatrons, the Democrats and the Republicans put to us. This is not about Democrats and Republicans. This is about the everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people. Together, will we win? Yes, we will. Yes, we will win,
Larry. We will win. And I want to advise my people out there. You know, we got too many people who want crops, but they don't want to plow for them. And that's that
right.
Frederick Douglass. That's one of his quotes, and he always say, but we can win this battle. I know if we can knock down a Whirlpool Corporation, we can do just about anything. And and I believe that a small town like Benton Harbor can win battles. If everybody fought together, we can win several more. It's a war out there. This is no conflict, Larry. This is the real deal. Whether they want
right.
to admit it or not, this is real, Larry. And listen,
right.
on that note, I also, those of you who are out there, my dear friend Larry, he need our help. Those of you who would like to send him a few dollars, I would appreciate it. And I'm asking you, you know, he's not, but he need it. I know he need it. But look, Larry, do me a favor and just give out your P.O. box, so if someone out there feel like they actually want to help, they can send you some money.
Well, I thank you. I thank the listeners. And the P.O. box, of course, is Larry Pinckney, P.O. box 581-822, Minneapolis, Minnesota, MN. 55458. Again, P.O. Box 581-822, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55458. And all donations and contributions are deeply appreciated and even more so needed. I thank you. I say it again, and I will continue to say it. All power to the people, black, white, brown, red, and yellow. All power to the people, whether they like it, and I'm talking about the power elite, who are trying to control us, whether the power elite likes it or not.
Larry, I truly, truly thank you. I know you are an amazing guy. And I tell you one thing, man, I don't know. You know, it's, you know, like I say, if we had a million of you, we could take over this country, you know. And I think that's one of the things that's out there. If, you know, we need more people like you. And I tell you, and I really, really appreciate you. I appreciate your work. I appreciate what you're doing. And thank you so much, Larry. I know you're busy right now, and I know if you can't stay on, we won't forget you. But if you want, if you can find a way to come back on before the show is over so we can get that address again, I appreciate that.
All right. Well, I want to convey to you the love and strength from the folks that I happen to be sitting here with right now. We got Keith Baker. We got Todd, we call Brother Todd, DJ Angel, and I want to convey their love and strength to all the hundreds of thousands of people out there. You know, they are fighters. They are critical thinkers. Thank you so much, my brother. Stay strong. You know I love you. And I
all right. Love you too,
audience.
My brother. Take care of yourself. Now it's time for the Lynn Stewart story. We always talk about political prisoners, but we're actually right here with one, and a strong fighter, a real soldier. I tell you, I am so proud of this guy. This guy goes beyond the call of duty. He has truly, truly impressed me and stimulated me to get out here and do more myself. But I am so happy to know a guy like him, to know a person who can stand up, know a person who know how to fight, and know how to fight and win, because we're going to win this battle. Ralph Pointer, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney, listening to every word, and I would like to tell you that I was in Washington. As you know, as everyone knows, I'm on my vigil in front of the White House, and I will repeat, what am I doing there? I'm building the fire to hold Obama's feet to that so many of our so-called leaders talked about when they begged us, literally begged us, to vote for Obama. And no fire is being built. And I challenge them, if they were truly betrayed by Obama, if they truly believed that when he talked about hope and change, that he was going to bring us hope and change, if they truly believed that we had a responsibility to vote for him, and that they would have make themselves responsible for holding his feet to the fire, I'm in front of the White House every day, building that fire that they should hold his feet to. I'm talking about Cornel West, Tavis Smiley, Oprah Winfrey, Steve Harvey, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Noam Chomsky, and it goes on and on to the liberals who said we will hold his feet to the fire. And having been at the picnic, let us not call it a demonstration, you have a picnic, because most of the people or many people were laughing and smiling, and I didn't take personal account as to how many serious people were there. And I will say serious people were there, because when my comrade, our comrade Betty Davis, said to people as they came by the White House, now you have marched, and now what? What did we get, and what did we plan, and what did we decide, and what did we hear? Well, the fact of the matter is, no one on that speaker's platform said anything worth hearing. It was a march down memory lane. We listened to what had been said to people before us. And the great speeches and the great organizing that was done by those 50 years ago was reenacted. And I submit to you, those speakers reenacting the lie, the false hoods that we believed in early on. And we worked with those, and I'm not going to put down socialism or communism, but those would be socialists or communists. Malcolm X properly called it a farce on Washington, not a march on Washington. And Bayard Rustin, who truly believed in the communist and union organizing movement that was going to save us, spoke up against us when we talked about they are going to fail and we as a people in our communities must not fail, and that we were willing or ready to grab democracy in a form of an act, in the form of a position. What was the position? We must control our communities. Very plain and simple. What was so different than that? The difference in controlling black communities was it was black. White communities controlled to a degree, as Lynn Stewart always said, to a degree the monies that came into their community for hospitals, schools, and roads. And in opposition, in the black community, we controlled nothing. The Democratic Party controlled it. The Republican Party controlled it for their own ends. And what our position was, like the white communities, not talking about separation, but talking about handling the separation that was already there. They separated us, didn't allow us to buy homes, redlined us, put us in our own communities. Therefore, we were no more than a colony, but we should join America by doing as other Americans did. And I always challenge somebody who says we must work together with our brothers, tell me about a black drugstore in a white community. It ain't enough. And I'm not against the white community having a white drugstore, but I question the idea that we in the black community cannot have black drugstores. I question the idea that we in black communities cannot have black teachers in our black schools making the same pay as white teachers in their white schools. And anybody who sees anything different, I will not organize with them, because I consider that a philosophy of failure, which it has been, is now, and will always be, if you want to talk about being American, in a capitalist society where capitalist is of great importance. And now, 50 years later, we see that the black American economy has been devastated for the third time. The first time was after Reconstruction. The second time was in the 60s and 70s with the black farmers losing all their land. And now we are competing for the greatest loss of economy of black people in American history. And while we had that economy, we didn't have a philosopher like Reverend Pinckney to say, put your pennies in your pocket. And every time we said boycott, 50 of the socialists or the leftists had reasons why we cannot boycott. And here we are at this late date. You have proven that a boycott will work. We must prove it again with fewer weapons, that is, with fewer dollars. And I believe the average family of four, in 2008, four black members of a family was around $31,000, something like that. And now it's down to $6,000, the worth of an average black family of four people. How can we work with that? Well, you did work with that. Imagine what would have happened if we had followed your lead just 5 years ago. But I want to talk about the positive things that did happen. I happened to listen to Cornel West after the march was over, after Comrade Betty Davis said, you have marched, now what?
That's a strong one.
That's a strong one. And
yes.
She listened as people struggled to say what. And then she found out that a lot of people said, I didn't expect anything to happen, but there were a large amount of black people here, and I wanted to come and bring my signs to show that I was discontent. But Cornel West did say something. He said, Sharpton is the new Negro on the Obama plantation. I think that said it very well. And I was thinking about that. And I said, well, the NAC, if Sharpton is the new Negro on the Obama plantation, then the NAACP is the overseer or the minor overseer, or maybe you can come up with a better word, the underseer in our way of liberation. When we have policies that would say liberation, they come out and say no. When we said policies of community control, we had those, I just mentioned his name, telling us, no, not Holden, anyway, telling us that we couldn't separate ourselves. And I said, well, you couldn't drive for UPS. You know, the UPS drivers, the white drivers, delivered in a black neighborhood. Con Edison or the energy companies had white workers working in the black neighborhoods. We should have had all of those jobs made by the corporations in black communities manned by black workers. And that was a no-no in the communist philosophy. And therefore, all of those years while the economy was moving along, even though we were the caboose, where it wouldn't have been such a distance between the last car and the caboose as it is now. And Bayard Rustin, who is given credit for organizing this movement, and he did organize this movement, was one of those who stood up, and every time we said, we want the same thing they want, but we're not going to be as vicious with it as they are. We want to develop good schools, because if we have good schools, integration will not be an issue, because we predicted in the future that white people would not have good schools and they would want to bring their children to our schools. We wouldn't have to fight on that. And so we have, the march was really Sharpton's crew, the Urban League, the NAACP, and also the unions, those same unions that kept us out as long as they could. And then when they joined us, they did the same discriminating that the management and the bosses had. And so nobody touched on the issue of drones or the war in public education in Washington, D.C. As I have been there on my vigil with Lynn Stewart, they had, listen to this, public charter schools. Public charter schools. A misnomer. There can be no such thing because there is a history of public education, which is rules and regulations that we should be using to demand education on behalf of our children. But instead, we have given it away. We've given it away through the, you have named it, through false leaders, through the Judas ghosts that we have. And I heard one gentleman saying, well, you wanted Obama, now you're paying the price for having him. And I says, well, you know, this was well said, but I did notice, I've been there all week, as people came, the questions are being raised. What are we doing?
Ralph, let me ask you a question, Ralph. I thought it was an exercise to control that many people more than anything else. Did you see a lot of DHS, Department of Home Service people around? They said that probably they had maybe 5,000-6,000 personnel float around it in plain clothes and everything else. I don't know, but this is what the report got back to me this morning, and I was shocked to hear such a thing.
Yes, they did. But understand, and they had cordons sectioned off where you were to go and you weren't supposed to leave that. You could leave it, but you couldn't get back to it. This kind of nonsense. Let me tell you, they did have people circulating. You could see them on the short subway and in the buses and in the cars. But as one fellow, or one friend of mine, Bill Green, said many years ago, they don't need chains on your behind when they got chains on your mind.
That's right.
There was chains on the minds of the people because it was a happy picnic.
Yeah, they was, like you said, it was a picnic. Those people, and these are everybody was there. I'm going to say 90% of the people there are the people that go home and go to bed and don't do nothing. And then they're going to tell everybody, I was in Washington. I was there at the 50th anniversary. And to them, it's the biggest thing in their life. Now they're going to go back home and go to bed, and they're going to be business as usual. Something needs to be done. Something needs to be said. With that many people in one space at one time, I think we could have made some noise. I think that if anything would have bust out, it would have sent a message that they would never have forgotten. And then the media was there. I know that, especially when Al Sharpton showed up and Jesse Jackson. They said that Al Sharpton cut off Jesse Jackson when he was speaking.
Well, I don't know which would be worse, Al or Jesse.
But what I'm saying, Al, they're buddies. Jesse and Al is buddies. But they said that Jesse couldn't even complete his speech. He had wrote it out. And he was, he was speaking from notes. And they said that he was not allowed to complete his speech. They rushed him out of the way. I don't know whether it's true or false. I'm getting secondhand information. But I also saw it in the newspaper about they had also did that, and it was also on TV itself. So I don't know the truth, but the point is, you got yourself a new Negro, and it's Alvin Sharpton. He's not no reverend. He's Alvin. That's who he is. But we have to make sure that we don't allow them to get in the way of our business. That is the most important thing.
Well, the march was to validate Obama, and it made us look childish as we were. But one of the things that I managed to raise up at every church and every meeting and every policy committee that would have me to speak about Lynn, I spoke about Reverend Pinckney and the boycott. Boycott everything Florida. They talked about Trayvon Martin. They didn't talk about doing anything about it. I spoke about how we must do something the same way you did something in Benton Harbor. Boycott, boycott, boycott. And I wanted to organize people to go there from all around the country that I had spoken to. And I says, we must raise the chant of boycott throughout the when the people started speaking. But I found too few people willing to do that. And so I made the announcement of boycott at every meeting I was at. And we must not forget Lynn. And as Lynn says, well, what were you expecting when I spoke to her? She says, yes, this is to validate Obama. This is to show that we do not need to be controlled with chains. Because those people, I think it was one of the great thinkers of our time, said when he was asked why he was in jail, his response was, why aren't you in jail? Because it is time to act. And so Lynn says, keep up the good work. Keep the struggle going. And the analysis of Holder's speech in California was that, you know, these guys tell the biggest lies. This is their hallmark. The Obama Holder administration is of telling lies, telling them in a slick manner, in a sly manner. But they say one thing and they mean something else. And it is our job up outside here to say he is redrawing the specifications or the regulation of compassionate release. He makes it sound like he's making it better, but in fact he's made it worse. And we must not allow him to kill our sister Lynn. And as I have been saying on this program, they have not sent our political people to jail. They've sent them to death camps, and they are killing, as Lynn says, I'm a newcomer. They're killing the people who have been in there 30 years because they have had diseases and sicknesses that have not been treated. So they're killing them by denying.
Wow, that's amazing, Ralph. You sit back and think about that. You know, what is your next step? Tell us about that.
Next step is, what I've been doing is I've been asking people to build cardboard phone booths, paint them up to make it look exactly like a phone booth. And any event of so-called progressive people, you have the phone booth and you have three numbers on it. And when the people come to and from the event, call all three of those numbers with their cell phones and talk to Obama, Holder, and Samuelson, the Bureau of Prisons, and tell them, expedite compassionate release for Lynn Stewart and all political prisoners. We must not forget our, and in Lynn's letter that she wrote to me, she says, we must never forget the brothers and sisters who died on our behalf. We must not allow them to languish in prison. So we must speak out. And so she says, I want to be the flagship of this operation.
All right, Ralph. All right. That is tremendous. I want you to know, and I want Lynn to know, that we love her. And we have all these listeners, people listening. They may not be doing nothing, but they listening. And, you know, and whatever I can do, I will do. I'm going to be with you rather than I get through with this dinner, this Danny Glover get dinner. I'm going to be with you. And I don't know how long I'm going to be able to stay. I'm going to have to check with my wife because, you know, I'm a little henpecked. So I got to check with her and get the okay from her, and I'm there. So my goal is to be there with you, and we're going to march. We're going to do whatever we need to do, and we're going to put a little bit of excitement behind it. So we're going to do what we can. And, Ralph, don't forget to tell Lynn we love her. And I just want to tell you, Ralph, you are a tremendous guy. You're not just an ordinary guy, and we love you very much also.
Now, what I'd like to see is at the event, when you have all of the dignitaries there, you have a phone booth out there, a cardboard phone booth that everybody can step in. And if they step into that phone booth and make a request to all three of those numbers, and I tell them to take literature to make a request 4, 5, 10 times, shut their phone line down with requests for compassionate release for Lynn Stewart and all political prisoners, and I will know that you are with me in spirit and in deed by doing that deed. So thank you again for the time. I'll be listening throughout the program, and I'll be looking for a wind-up at the end.
All right, but listen, can we do that on a Saturday?
Whatever day you say is good enough for me.
Okay, well, we'll do it on that day. I'll make sure. We'll get a cardboard phone booth, and I'll help people to make that call.
Wonderful. Thank you.
All right,
so
my brother. Take care of yourself, and, hey, we'll talk to you soon.
Great, and I'll be listening. Thank you.
All right, my brother. Hey, I got to bring on my good friend, my girl, from Louisiana, the sugarcane country, who's fighting a whale of a battle down there. What she have done so far is so amazing. She have gotten the whole sheriff department investigated. Matter of fact, she had gotten Eric Holder to do something. And on that note, I got to bring in the one and only, the only one, Belinda Brown. Belinda Brown, are you there?
Yes, Pastor Pickney, I'm here.
What's up, me, girl?
Pastor Pickney, everything you said is all because of you and how you mentor me and train me to make these people do something, Pastor Pickney, to force them and take what it is that we want. You know, once we speak it, then we can demand it, and it shall be. You know, and you can't be afraid of these people, Pastor Pickney. I don't care who they are, the president, it can be the ambassador. I don't care.
Mm.
Okay, it's just time for us to show that we are not afraid of these people and that we're not going to tolerate these type of malicious acts. And when it comes to, you know, people needing help, you know, I just was listening to Brother Ralph, and, you know, my heart really go out to, you know, your wife, Lynn Stewart, and all political prisoners that have been jacked up and railroaded and locked up because of, you know, all they wanted to do is help and make things better for people. But, Pastor Pickney, you know, I got to tell you what's going on here in Louisiana, Pastor Pickney.
But talk to
and
me, Belinda. Talk to
you
me.
You know, how much we're looking forward to you coming down here helping us, because I'm here to tell you we got them right where we want them at. You know, that's what you used to say, Belinda. We got them right where we want them.
That's what I used to say.
Thank them real
and
good.
I'm still saying it. We got them just where we want them.
We got them just where we want them.
That's right.
And we going to spank them real good, Pastor Pickney. We calling it a new thing down here. We want to see them do the perp walk.
Yeah.
You know what that is.
Oh, well, you know, all I know about sugar canes down there, that's all I know.
Well, you know, some of these people need to go. They need to be locked up in their own godforsaken hellhole jails and prison for some of the outrageous acts that they have, you know, used the criminal justice system, you know, to just lock up as many people as they possibly can down here by any means necessary here in Louisiana. And they have become, you know, the injustice that's taking place in our criminal justice system is totally outrageous. And we have shown them, and we're going to continue to stand up and speak out against it, Pastor Pickney. We're going to let them know that we will not tolerate these demonized, malicious acts that's taking place in our criminal justice system here in the state of Louisiana, and we're exposing these people, and we're letting them know, Pastor Pickney, that it's over for them. They're going down big time, and that the people are organizing and mobilizing, and, you know, I'm using every tool that you have, you know, trained me and taught me to let people know that, you know, we can be busy doing a whole lot of stuff. You know, everybody busy doing stuff, but they ain't getting nothing done. So I done told them, Pastor Pinckney, you know, it's time to act. It is time to act. It is time to boycott. It is time to march. It's time to organize. It's time to unite. It's time to come together and gang up on these people like they done ganged up on us, and let them know that we're not going to take this and we're not going to tolerate it anymore. We want something done now, not later, right now. We're talking about our children and our grandchildren. We're going to change the world and make it known that, hey, what happened when people stand up and say that we're going to fight for what is right, Pastor Pinckney? Somebody got to know that we are in a fight. And we're not backing down, okay? We are not going to go away, all right? We are going to do whatever we have to do. If we got to shut down Whirlpool, shut them down. If we
got
to shut down the whole city, then shut it down. If we got to, if everybody got to rub their pennies together and come up with whatever solution we need to do to bring about the change, then that's what we're going to have to do, Pastor Pinckney. And I want to send Larry Pinckney something. He needs to say his P.O. box again. And my heart really go out to you, Brother Larry. You got my 100% support. And I'm excited about the work that you're doing. You know, it's not no coincidence that your last name is Pinckney, because the Pinckneys.
That's right. It's the Pinckney, the Pinckney.
The Pinckney, the Pinckney that's getting stuff done.
That's
so.
Right. Listen, Belinda, here's what we got to do. We got to find a product, one of their major products in Covington. That's where the courthouse is.
I'm gonna tell you, I already identified the Pastor Pinckney.
Okay.
You know, this is Louisiana, right?
Right.
We got the Bluebell ice cream. You know, everybody eat ice cream down here.
Bluebell, uh-huh.
Everybody, they got to have ice cream. Anything that's gonna cool them off, okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay. The big name company.
Let's make plans and shut them down. Get them folks in Covington ready.
Right, I done told people don't buy no Bluebell ice cream. Don't buy it. Don't eat it. Okay.
And then you got to make the announcement over the radio so people know, because just making the announcement would do just wonderful. Let's get it out there.
Mhm.
What I want to
do,
I'm gonna have you to write an article in the People Tribune about the boycott.
Okay.
So we're gonna make
it.
This thing national. Every week we're gonna talk about this boycott of all the blueberry or blue bonnet.
Well, Pastor Pinckney, we get ready to have a grand finale down here. You know, my son's court date is coming up September 19th. Okay.
Oh yeah, that is right.
And the young people are going to come out in massive numbers, and they're going to support, you know, a justice festival that we're going to have to let the young people get involved with their talents and their abilities. You know, they got their social media and stuff down pat, okay?
Mm-hmm, absolutely, absolutely.
So they're making up the 21st century state-of-the-art signs and posters, you know, putting these people faces on them and
absolutely.
Letting them know that
and
who the bad
the
people
t-shirts.
Are.
T-shirts is important.
Yep, the T-shirts and the name. You know they don't like when they bad the judges and stuff. They don't like people saying their names, Pastor Pinckney. But
right,
we call them
I know that none of them do. That's
right,
especially a black
like
person
that.
Saying it.
Uh huh. So,
yeah.
Another thing that you taught me real good that we're doing, we're filing lawsuits against them left and right. We're filing lawsuits against the judges, the prosecutors, the public defenders, the police officers, the probation officers, the insurance companies, okay, that's in cahoots with the DA, the banks. We're filing lawsuits against all of them, Pastor Pinckney.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Hey, I can't hardly wait to get down there, young lady. I can't. It's going to be exciting. But listen, I am looking forward to seeing you October the 5th, you and your hubby. And I tell you, this is going to be a grand finale. This is going to be something
good. Well, I'm planning on bringing my whole family down there, Pastor Pinckney. We want it to be a grand finale because we're coming down there to get energized and get us some more gasoline to go on this fire we started down here in Louisiana.
Hey, I love it. I love it. I love it. It doesn't get any better than that, Belinda Brown. And you, I want you to know that we love you so much, and I want you to keep up the great work that you're doing down there. And people from all over will be listening and trying to find out what's going on in Slidell.
Pastor Pinky, one more thing. Let me tell you about Mr. Victor.
All right. Talk to me.
Pastor Pinkney, we're going to have some good news about Mr. Earl Victor, okay?
Okay.
We have identified and have gotten him an attorney, Pastor Pinkney, and the attorney have researched the information, and they have found out that they have brung these charges on this man falsely, that these are criminal acts that they have performed against him and his wife to destroy him. And Pastor Pinkney, his court date is coming up. So I want you to be praying for his court date is September the 16th, okay?
Okay.
And we're going to argue the motion to quash and get this man out of prison, you know, whereas, you know, him and his wife can be reunited with their kids, and then Pastor Pinkney is on, for real. It's going to be on big
time. All right,
Belinda.
Showtime
on Louisiana.
That's right.
Okay.
All right, girl. Hey, listen, Belinda, I got to let you go. I got to bring in my good friend, Dr. Short. But, hey, but you know we love you, and we'll be talking soon.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Pinkney.
All right now.
Bye now.
Okay. It's time for Dr. Short. I guess you say, what kind of name is Dr. Short? He's a guy who's been out there. He's a guy who knows, who has facts. He's a guy that you know you can actually enjoy talking to him. He's my friend. He's my guy. Dr. Short. Dr. Short, are you there? Dr. Short, are you there? He's not there. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to leave him, and we're going to go to my good friend, Ken, the man who's with me yesterday at the Occupy, the National Occupy Movement. I was waiting for the TIs to get there. The TIs came after Ken had left, unfortunately, and I didn't know them from nobody else. But they came in, they spotted me, and they started talking, and that's how I got a chance to know who they were. They're there. There's a lot of them there in Kalamazoo. There's a lot of them in Kalamazoo. There's a lot of them all over. Matter of fact, it's over a million targeted individuals. And you know what I'm trying to do now? I'm trying to get this group to combine with the other groups and really become a force, because the group itself on my Thursday night show was good, but unfortunately, I'm not going to do my Thursday night show anymore until after the Danny Glover event. The Thursday night show, a lot of TIs, but I tell you this much. We have to learn to work and get the word out about the TIs. We got to start talking about it. And matter of fact, there was a lady who wasn't even classified as a TI at the Occupy on yesterday, and she started telling me all the symptoms she was having. And I knew for a fact that she was a T.I. But let me bring in my good friend, my guy, the hero of the T.I.s, a guy who has gone beyond the call of duty. He have actually propelled this thing to a whole different level. Without him, it probably would not be me, part of the T.I.s. But here he is, a guy, he's a man of his word. He goes beyond the call of duty. He's just a great guy. I call him John Brown, but his name is Ken Rose. Ken Rose, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Reverend Pinky. Thank you.
How you doing today?
Not too bad. How was your meeting turned out good yesterday then?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? I knew the TI was going to be there, but I didn't know them. And then by the time we got through with our class, then I bumped into them. And I guess they knew me by my T-shirt. That's how it was, because I got a chance to pass out all the DVDs, every last one of them. Matter of fact, if I would have had more, I would have been able to pass out more. But unfortunately, only what I used was left on the table, and I used all of them up, every last one of them. Could have used another maybe 30 or 40, but, you know, that sometimes it goes like that. But just to get a few of them out, and I told them, you know, I gave them my permission to share them with other people. So that was a good thing.
Right. Well, today I'm going to speak about the TIs. It's not only the TIs that are being targeted. Almost everyone in America is being targeted. They get the American public to work with them. At the same time, they're also being targeted. While they think they are doing what they are doing to TIs, their kids are getting cancer up 8,000% in the last 15 years. And their kids are getting diabetes up 7,000% in the last 15 years. Autism's up from 25,000 to 1 in 58 today. The cops are out here writing tickets to the poorest Americans. They also, their kids are getting cancer. They're getting cancer and they're getting diabetes. And when you get deceived, we all get shafted. So people need to start thinking for themselves. When people come to you, they don't say we're from the government. They say they send in a church group. They send in the Masons or Neighborhood Watch or InfraGuard or some group. Because they know if they say we're from the government, nobody trusts them. So they send in somebody you trust. And then they get deceived. So when they get deceived, we all get, again, we get shafted. Now, I just read two articles yesterday that say they're getting ready to kill the petrodollar. So when that comes in, get ready, we're in for a rough ride. And when they come in and put them in the prison camp, they call them the reservation. The blacks did not stand up. The whites did not stand up. Then they came for the blacks to make slaves. The whites didn't stand up. The American Indians couldn't stand up. They'd already had all their rights taken away. Now they're coming for all of us. So we better all come together now because we're in the fight for our lives right now. That I will tell you. It's going to get a little rough before it gets any better. So anybody thinks it's going to be an easy win? You better rethink that issue.
Hey, Ken, you know we always talk about microwave and stuff like that. You know, on yesterday, I believe that they're good at spraying chemicals. When I was in Chicago for that big march they had, you could smell the chemicals up in the air. Another control tag. What do you think about them using the microwave on those people to control them?
Well, if you read Robert Duncan's book, The Project Soul Catcher, he said they can take a whole city and hit it with this technology. This technology is very, very dangerous, and most people don't want to believe that because it's so far out there they can't believe it. But they need to read the book, Robert Duncan, The Soul Catcher. He talks about they can control a whole city with this technology. And I'm telling you one thing, this is dangerous technology. They give people cancers with it. They can give you a heart attack with it. And everybody thinks that, oh, I'm getting old, I'm just getting cancer. No, they're giving it to you, and the medical doctors in this country are going along with it. The dentists go along with it. All of them know that this is evil stuff, but they're all afraid to speak out because they're going to lose their petrodollar. Well, they're getting ready to lose it anyway because these articles I'm reading, I didn't just read off one website. People sent them to me, and it's from two or three websites that they're getting ready to do something with our dollar. Because Obama told you when he came in, he was going to transform America. Well, I don't know. I don't believe you're going to like the way he transformed it. I didn't like the way George Bush was transforming it before he turned the reins over to Barack Obama. We just go from one evil person to the next evil person. Then everybody says, well, if we vote him out, things are going to get better. Well, it's going to get a whole lot worse before it gets a whole lot better. So people better stop and think about it. But, you know, Larry was breaking up when he was on. So mm-hmm. I'm going to read his address out. If any of the TIs, I sent him a few dollars last week, and after the third, when I get my check, I'm going to try to help him out again. But it's Larry Pinckney, P.O. Box 581-822, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 554 58, then 1-8-2-2. So if anybody can help him out, Larry, he took up our calls on Alex Jones, and I don't know how much, I can't thank him enough for that. And just keep fighting, and we may win this battle, and I hope we do, but it's going to be a hell of a fight before we get finished.
You know what? We're going to win this one, Ken. We're going to win this battle, and I know we are, but the people have to get off their butts and start doing things. Like I said before, you got too many people who want crops and don't want to plow for it, and we can't allow people to come in and divide us. Use that technique. That's why I keep doing what I do. I don't stop doing what I'm doing. You know, I don't let people come in because I know that's what they do. So that's why I keep moving. That's why I keep going. And you know this, Ken, I'm everywhere. And people know me everywhere. Everywhere I go, some people just want to touch me because they can't believe that a person could fight this hard and win. Because I believe in winning. When I played baseball, I won. When I played basketball, I won. We didn't have the best team. I mean, we didn't have the best players, but we had the best team because I taught people how to work together, how to fight together, how to stand together, and how to win. To me, there's nothing more important than winning. Like they said, winning is not everything. It's the only thing, and I believe that, Ken.
It's the only thing. Ken, let me bring up this so people can Google up Agenda 21 because I heard a guy talking about it last night. And he said, oh, they invite you to come out and discuss this with them. That's not a bad program. Agenda 21 is a sustainability. God put us all here, but the elite thinks that 7 billion people on Earth is too many. It's a eugenics program. And I can't believe the guy that said it. I couldn't even believe he was saying it. You know, they want to move you all into cities and use mind control on everybody. So everybody better go look up Agenda 21 because it's a eugenics. They want to kill us all.
Oh, absolutely. No question at all about that, my brother. They want to kill us all, and they're doing it slowly but surely. You know, and they do have the technique to give you cancer. I know one thing that Castro of Cuba said. He told Chavez, he said, look, he said, don't let them brush up against you. Don't let anybody in the United States touch you. He said because he believed that the United States gave him cancer. He believed
I believe that too, and I believe they do it to a lot of people, but they don't even have to brush up against you. With this technology, they can send it right in the satellite or any place. I mean, they don't really have to brush up against you to give it to you. They got the frequencies down, and Barry Trower talked about that when I sent a girl over to England to interview him. Mm-hmm. He talked about he could give you all the frequencies and they can dial them in, hit you with them, and tell you what cancer you're going to get. So we're dealing with some very, very scary technology, and most Americans find it far-fetched and hard to believe. But one of these days when they start using on them and they're getting sick and they think it's just because they're getting old, well, it probably ain't because you're getting old. People used to get old. They didn't get all the diseases we're getting now, so they might want to rethink that program.
Oh, absolutely. No question about it at all. I agree with that 100%. We live in an evil time with evil people. And the people better wake up. You better wake up. And you better stop fighting among yourself. That's another weapon they use. We fight so much among ourselves, that's why we don't get nothing done. That's why I use the term stick and move. I keep moving. I don't let nobody stop me. But, Ken, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want. Go right ahead. I'm going to bring in my good friend Gloria after this, and then we're going to go to my good friend Sahara. So go right ahead.
Go ahead, Reverend Pini. I said everything I did, and everybody have a great day, and God bless all of us.
All right. That's beautiful. You just hang in there and stay with us and don't leave us.
Oh, I'll be with you.
All right, then. Gloria, my friend, what's happening with you?
Well, I'm here, Reverend Pinckney, and I'm here to say free the land. And there's something that children used to say, I'm not touching you, is a common childhood taunt. All right. I'm going to read about HAARP, a new world order, mind control, and weather warfare weapon. The United States Secretary of Defense at that time, William Cohen, apparently stated in a press briefing while committing on new technology threats possibly held by terrorist organizations. Others are engaging in the echo type of terrorism where they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes and volcanoes remotely using the use of electromagnetic waves, while the Secretary of Defense suggests this capability might be possessed by terrorist organizations. The U.S. military continues to deny that they also control such technology. And that was by Dr. Nick Begich. Our school system increasingly teaches our children how to memorize data and totally ignores teaching them how to think or analyze for themselves. This is totally planned as part of the New World Order. Mark Phillips and Kathy O'Brien have been told by many people that their book, which speaks about mind control, offers a thread of tying things together. All of a sudden, the New World Order has meaning. The erosion of constitutional values and morality in this country begins to make sense when the concept of mind control is introduced into the picture. And that's by Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips, author of the book Trance, T-R-A-N-C-E, Formation of America. Now, you have to pay attention to cell phone towers, Gwen towers, satellites sending microwave sounds around the world. And it's like the little children say, I'm not touching you. But they are getting to us. Yes.
And wow. So, hey, I like that. I like that. That's tremendous. You know, did you hear when Ken and myself was talking about this cancer and stuff like that? Give me your take on that.
Well, what has happened to me, because I take a universal law class by Brother Will I Am, and I've been able to elevate my conscious level because it's a mind control. It's mind control. And once you can, you know, he says to us, if you don't control your mind, damn it, somebody else will. So this is what I work on. I have a class with him every week. So I can elevate myself up out of this matrix, and you can sort of look down on what is going on. So, yes, we have to pay attention. It is so massive. I went to have my car checked the other day, and for some reason they like to perp me with the number 7. Well, to me, that's my lucky number.
Mm.
And the gentleman says, when did you get this car? I said, 2009. He said, oh, that's 7 years. I said, oh, you're under mind control.
Mm-hmm.
He said, oh, what do you mean? Well, I gave him a letter that I had received some freedom from covert harassment and surveillance several years ago, and it talks about a war that is covertly taking over the United States and globally. So I handed it to them, and I said, and I want you to check out something on the Internet, and that's harp, not the harp that angels play. So I would like people to go to their Internet and look up HAARP, H-A-A-R-P, and it will give you information upon information. This is just a sketch of it. But we have to come back to ourselves and realize what's going on out here, this big fancy car, this great big house, it's all an illusion. That's not happiness.
Wow, you know what? You are absolutely correct, too. You know, I wish that people could get that in their head. And, you know, one of the things that I want to do, Gloria, We want to call a boycott. We want all the TIs to stop boycotting certain products. We're gonna teach them to keep their money in their pocket, and until we get some demands met. And we'll see what happens. I do have a plan that, as a matter of fact, I'm working on right now as we speak. You know, I'm working on this plan, and I think that we're going to get some action. I just know we are, because reason unknown, people begin to, TIs begin to know me all over the country now, which is really a tremendous thing. And I ran into some TIs on yesterday, and amazing grace, you know, that's what I call it. But, Gloria, I just want to say, you got about 60 seconds, say whatever you want. Then I want to bring on Sahara. Then I got to bring on my good friend Dorothy. And we're just having a great time, and I really appreciate you, girl. I mean, I tell you, your information is right there on point, and it let people know how important it is to have facts to back up whatever you say. And go ahead and say something to me, Dorothy. You got 60 seconds. Go right ahead. I mean,
I watched some of the march yesterday, which I thought was blah, 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 blah. But I did listen to John Lewis, because when Jesse Jackson was speaking, his head was held down the entire time. So,
yeah, he was reading. He was reading it. His speech.
Yeah, he was reading it. You could not see his expression or anything. But
mm-hmm.
someone I did listen to, and I had my granddaughter, I said, Ashley, turn that back. I want to hear this again. And it was John Lewis. He said, we have to stand up, speak up, speak out, get in the way, and make some noise. So we, as TIs, we found someone out of this country that is, other than yourself and people on this line, we found a gentleman in Jackson, Mississippi, Mayor Chokwe Lumumba, and that is our program. We're going to stand up, speak up, speak out, and get in the way and make some noise all the way to Jackson, Mississippi in April of 2014.
Wow, that's
Thank
tremendous.
You
Thank you so much. I tell you, this is really, really a tremendous opportunity. We're waking people up, and we're going to teach people to start keeping their money in their pocket. The key word is, when you start boycotting, keeping that money in their pocket, them corporations get mad. On that note, I got to bring in my good friend, Sahara. Sahara, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Reverend Pinkney.
Hey, how you doing? It's good to hear your voice. I only get a chance to hear your voice once a month. But I'm more than happy to hear whatever you have to say.
Thank you. I hope you received my email I sent you.
I most certainly did.
Okay, good, because it's a little on the longer side today. I know we try not to go over 10 minutes. This one might be a little closer to 11, but it's just under that.
All right. Well, Sahara, whatever you need, you got it.
Oh, thank you. And I'm going to ask people to please get ready to take some notes on this one or visit your radio program on blogtalkradio.com, because I have some information that I'm hoping will be helpful to submit some evidence.
All right. Go right ahead.
Okay. Hello. My name is Sahara Chenier. I am the founding spokesperson of Snow Yolk, Stop Non-Consensual Experiments on All World Citizens, a community on Facebook and MySpace. Snow Yolk is spelled S-N-O-E-O-A-W-C. Today is Sunday, August 25th, 2013. The rapidly growing community of people who are aware of being targeted by mass-scale, non-consensual human experimentation, often referred to as TIs for targeted individuals, was conflicted when presented with the recent U.S. Presidential Commission for the Study of Bioethical Issues meeting on the subject of human research subjects protection. The community was conflicted largely because we did not want to get our hopes up when so far our concerns have fallen on predominantly deaf ears. This is a concern that I have shared. However, I worked diligently for over a year and a half on producing a video presentation to the attention of the Bioethics Commission, resulting in an abbreviated version, a semi-expanded version, and finally the expanded presentation of October 2012 being uploaded to my YouTube channel of chenier.com. That is spelled C-H-I-N-I-E-R-E N as in Nancy, YereDotCom. In the expanded presentation are seven guest speakers. They are Dr. Anthony Ananga, food biotechnology and molecular genetics researcher, Dr. Robert Duncan, author of Project Soulcatcher, Secrets of Cyber and Cybernetic Warfare Revealed. Dr. Reuben Warren, director of Tuskegee University's Bioethics Center, Dr. John Hall, author of A New Breed, Satellite Terrorism in America, Mr. Derek Robinson, president of Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance, Dr. Charles McIntyre, recipient of the U.S. Physician of the Year Award during the George W. Bush administration, and Mr. Jonathan Carty, attorney specializing in international human rights. For the end of the presentation, I made a closing appeal to the commission, and I can tell you right now that at least the majority of us who spoke in the presentation, including me, were anxious about whether our words would have the desired impact and whether the substantial effort we were making to prepare our part of the presentation would do some good. The answers to these questions are not yet clear, but as I said during the video presentation's closing, a lot of people have lost hope, but I still have some hope that while it is our governments that apparently end up being found to be the entities that have financially and otherwise supported non-consensual human experimentation, that it is our governments that might step forward and look into these matters, and in fact are the only entities in a position to do so. Well, it is now August 2013, and while we wait for our federal government to properly acknowledge and address our concerns, a new opportunity to be formally heard has arisen. This opportunity is to provide a copy of our evidence to the current United Nations Special Rapporteur on Torture, Juan Mendez. According to Mr. Derek Robinson, this opportunity came about through outreach by Ms. Millicent Black, who created a Change.org petition and arranged for the Special Rapporteur on Torture to receive a message each time someone signs. Special thanks is extended to Ms. Black for reaching out to Mr. Mendez and to Mr. Mendez for his willingness to receive a copy of the evidence that individual members of our community may soon send. Please note the following three points. One, Mr. Mendez's post may expire this November 2013, and he is currently working on a report to address to the United Nations on a potentially different but related topic that is scheduled for this October. Therefore, it is strongly recommended that if you wish to provide him a copy of your evidence, you should do so within 1 month from today. Two, evidence from anywhere in the world can be sent. Three, the preferred format requested is electronic mail. The email address provided is sselg, as in George, at ohchr.org. In addition to the UN Special Rapporteur on Torture, Mr. Juan Mendez, who is a visiting professor at American University Washington College of Law, Ms. Stephanie Selg, who is visiting the university's Center for Human Rights and Humanitarian Law from Switzerland, will be handling the evidence. Ms. Selg is from the United Nations Office of the High Commissioner of Human Rights. To repeat the email address provided by the August 15, 2013 Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance Bulletin, it is sselg, that is S-S-E-L-G, at ohchr.org. If you are not subscribed to the Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance newsletter, it is publicly available by conducting an internet search. Please refer to the August 15, 2013 Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance Bulletin for a copy of the questionnaire to be completed by people alleging torture, either on their own behalf or on behalf of someone they represent. The bulletin is also linked from the Snowy Oaks community page. I have spent more than a week reviewing presentations by the UN Special Rapporteur on Torture, Juani Mendez. What I have observed gives me particular hope that he will treat our community's concerns with care. He is certainly capable of doing so and seems so inclined. But as always, I recommend that you do your own research to reach your own decision about whom to entrust with information about your particular case. Also, it is important to understand the function and limitations of the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Torture. To help with this, I will read some excerpts from the Wikipedia page on United Nations Special Rapporteur. But first, I will note that while it is ideal to view directly primary sources of information, such as the United Nations Office of the High Commissioner of Human Rights website at OHCHR.org in this case, a reason that I frequently quote Wikipedia is that in general, its text is, quote, available under the Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. In general, this license allows information on Wikipedia to be shared with the public without violating copyright. However, there are many rules applying to content distribution under existing copyright laws that may be relevant to any specific circumstance. Now, to help convey the function and limitations of the UN Special Rapporteur on Torture, I will read some excerpts from the Wikipedia page on United Nations Special Rapporteur. The title is, quote, given to individuals working on behalf of the United Nations within the scope of special procedures mechanisms who bear a specific mandate from the United Nations Human Rights Council, either a country mandate or a thematic mandate. Rapporteur is a French-derived word for an investigator who reports to a deliberative body. The mandate by the United Nations has been to examine, monitor, advise, and publicly report on human rights problems through activities undertaken by special procedures, including responding to individual complaints, conducting studies, providing advice on technical cooperation at the country level, and engaging in general promotional activities. Appointed by the Human Rights Council of the United Nations, these mandate holders act independently of government. They do not receive any financial compensation for their work, but they receive personnel and logistical support from the Office of the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights. Special rapporteurs often conduct fact-finding missions to countries to investigate allegations of human rights violations. They can only visit countries that have agreed to invite them. Aside from fact-finding missions, rapporteurs regularly assess and verify complaints from alleged victims of human rights violations. Once a complaint is verified as legitimate, an urgent letter or appeal is sent to the government that has allegedly committed the violation, end quote. Noted in the controversy section of the Wikipedia page on United Nations Special Rapporteur is that there is a specific code of conduct for how special rapporteurs are to address the media. However, the code of conduct does not appear on the Wikipedia page. While I do not know the current state of this matter, I recall a news interview of Mr. Mendez, who was already assigned the role of UN Special Rapporteur on Torture, a role that he has been assigned since 2008. In the interview, he said that he was being denied permission to visit all parts of Guantanamo Bay and that consequently he had not yet visited. In summary, the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Torture, a thematic rather than country-specific role, cannot directly make a particular government do a particular thing. However, the special rapporteur can, A, investigate complaints of torture to the extent they are allowed, keeping in mind that, quote, they can only visit countries that have agreed to invite them. B, report their findings to the United Nations Human Rights Council. And C, contact, quote, the government that has allegedly committed the violation, end quote. Or, as the case may be, the special rapporteur can contact more than one country's government. Further, Mr. Mendez's full title is Special Rapporteur on Torture and Other Cruel, Inhuman, or Degrading Treatment or Punishment. As such, consistent with what I have heard Mr. Mendez communicate in some of his presentations, if you believe you have a legitimate complaint of cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment or punishment, whether you are certain that the complaint reaches an official extent of torture, it may be of serious interest to and within the scope of the special rapporteur. Finally, in September and October 2010, respectively, I uploaded a pair of videos on evidence gathering basics that you may find helpful. They are on my Cinera.com channel on YouTube. Again, that is spelled C-H-I-N as in Nancy, Y-E-R-E-D-O-T-C-O-M. Thank you for your time.
Sahara, that is tremendous. You know, a lot of times we have a lot of people who've been targeted by our government. We call them target individuals. You may not think you're being targeted, but believe me, this government is targeting our people. They're using microwave to control your mind. They're using other things to control your minds. They are in the mind-controlling business. But Sahara, that information was so incredible. And I only get a chance to actually hear your voice once a month, and I appreciate you. I want you to know that. And I know my listeners appreciate you. At this stage, we have more people on the board than we ever had before. Matter of fact, if you're trying to get in and you can't get in, please, you can listen to the show after the show is over, because it appears to me that we have broken the bank. And I am so happy to see this. I'm going for 500,000 listeners. That's what I'm shooting for, and we are almost at that stage. Sahara, I got to thank you so much, and I really appreciate you, but I got to leave you. Do you have about 30 seconds to say whatever you want? You want to have something else to say? Go right ahead.
Oh, I just want to thank you very much for having me on your show, Reverend Pinkney.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Sahara. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
All right, then. Thank you so much, Sahara, for that information. But now it's showtime. I got to bring in my good friend, Dorothy. Dorothy, she's special. She's one of the few people who can actually tell it like it is. She was in the service, and she was being mistreated. I would say mistreated. She was being controlled. She was under mind control. But I tell you, she's ready to fight back. Dorothy, are you there?
Yeah, how are you?
Great. How about yourself?
Good, thank you. Good, thank you.
Oh, you sound good. You sound like you're ready. You got something special for me today.
Well, you know, it's kind of amazing because I did watch the ceremony commemorating Dr. King, and had the opportunity to speak on another radio show talking about. And the question was posed, do you think that Dr. King would actually have shown up?
That's a good question. I don't think he would have.
Well, you know, after watching it, because we didn't even really know who was going to be presenting. And,
I did.
Okay. Well, I'll honestly say that I think he would have shown up, but I think he would have turned the whole crowd on its ear. I think he would have spoken up about what we know as targeted individuals. He would have talked about the torture of human beings, both at Guantanamo. He would have talked about secret wars. He would have talked about the rape and the torture of military members, as well as veterans who go to the VA for help, who have been absolutely devastated and brutalized. I think he would have spoken actually the history, the proven history of this, and most likely he would have even clarified the fact that, you know, when people keep tossing out those words of conspiracy theory, remember, those are things done by two or more people in secret. Those terms, conspiracy, are actually in every law book in America. So the issue now is there's an agenda that's being played. And I think he would have spoken those words about what's really going on as well, because he was a man of truth and power and speaking and telling it like it really was. But even moving beyond that, because I always like to kind of go and look up things and find interesting stuff, I'm going to caveat this by first saying that the YouTube video I'm going to suggest people watch needs to be watched with due care. It's not child friendly, and in fact it's really not for any adult, but it tells the truth, and that is the work of Andrea Dworkin, and her last name spelled is Dworkin, Dworkin. specifically the testimony that she gives before an attorney general. There's four parts to this, so one out of four parts. And again, you really, for anybody who is faint of heart, I'll ask you to watch it anyway. And the reason being is she talks about the treatment of women and children in, as she says, my country. This is a dated 1970s, 1980s video. It's a picture of her, but also it's her stories, her observation, her information. I'm also going to suggest that people watch The Real Linda Lovelace. That's another YouTube video, The Real Linda Lovelace. Now, people might not know who she was. Some will. She is a woman that was drugged, hypnotized, put under mind control, because when you're hypnotized, she was beaten and brutalized for the crime scene movie, the crime scene taping of Deep Throat. That was 1970, prior to 1972. And this crime scene was seen throughout the court systems up to the Supreme Court based on its pornography issue, and no one stopped it. So together, again, you need to watch these movies, this taping of information, because it clearly shows that in America, in my country, that human beings, children and women, are ignored and demoralized and brutalized. And she also talks about how even young men are having this happen and the criminality at which at every level. She talks about the ACLU and how the ACLU had an agenda with helping some of the pimps as well as some of the corporations, and how they really had sold out in support and protection of those most needing this. There is no one, and I mean no one, in any religious belief system or even non-religious belief system that these types of crimes should ever happen to, let alone be subjected to. Because I can tell you firsthand, I never volunteered, I never consented, I don't care who it was, I don't care how high they were on the totem pole, it never was my wish or my will. And I witnessed a great deal of criminal abuse and brutalization, both in my life, but then in the military, and then again for 20 years while trying to get healthy, trying to stand up and support fellow good American men and women. And what I've also discerned is the fact that most of the people that I witnessed who were being brutalized, put into sexual slavery, under mind control, that A, they were moderate liberals and moderate conservatives. They were people of good, strong, true moral character that would have stopped the crazy making that's going on. So, again, watch those videos. Those are Andrea Dworkin and The Real Linda Lovelace. And again, for those of us who would normally never watch this, let me share with you why. If we do not know what is being done in our name with your taxpayer dollars, and trust me, your taxpayer dollars have in fact destroyed a lot of good Americans' lives, then how do you know how to get ahead of it? That's why for those of us who would never want to watch this stuff, you need to watch it. Remember, Secretary of State Kerry said in Germany, Americans have the right to be stupid. With YouTube videos, and we don't know how long it's going to be able to remain out there, you need to get out there and start looking around. Don't believe just anything, but begin discerning and cross-referencing things and going left, right, and center. Apply it to your own life and go out from there. But I also want to kind of now change a little bit of the dynamics, okay, because that was a pretty heavy subject. So I want to also kind of have people look at something else in YouTube videos and begin to ask the question, what is this about and why aren't Americans or even global citizens becoming aware of it? Why haven't we been told about it? You can go out on YouTube videos and go to the National Geographic or the History Channel and look at megastructures, and begin going around and looking at it. I'm amazed with all of the building that has been going on, both underneath the sea, underneath the ocean. There's a megastructure one on the English Channel tunnel. And the reason why that's important to look at is because it shows you that the technology that is already way advanced, in which this isn't just under the water, but underneath the hardened mantle at the ocean's base and then even a couple miles down, they actually dug through in the 80s a tunnel to allow for cars to go under the water from England to France. Now, when people begin to say, is this a conspiracy or is this a theory? And you go out to Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory and he talks about underground bases. Again, go and look at the equipment under the English Channel that was used. This is documented. And then begin saying, well, this is clear. I mean, they actually showed you how they were drilling through this mass amounts of tunnel. It was out of a U.S. company that in Washington State that constructed the huge digging, boring, mega tunneling system. And then that this is actually happening under our own lands. So when people begin looking at the issue of all of the sinkholes that are happening, and again, I had geology in college, just a class or two, but it doesn't take much to figure out that a lot of this stuff can be, in fact, because of the fracking, which is often contaminating groundwaters, as well as they're taking out methane, bubbles of methane. These things cause the upper dirt that has not yet compressed into a hard enough shell to then become a sinkhole system. So, again, it's always important to begin, and it's really good to start using your mind. Think logically. Track for yourself. As the other speakers have said, this isn't just about one issue. This is about our well-being. This is about how our money is being spent. This is about how we are not being told what's happening in our name, and yet our lives and all these other systems are being talked about. I mean, you can go out on YouTube, you can look at the weaponizing of and DARPA, weaponizing of energy. It's all out there. And again, it's always important to look for yourself and begin to figure out what's happening.
Mm. That's great. You still there?
Yep, I'm here.
All right. Listen, I tell you, that is tremendous. When you was in the service, what was your rank?
Well, I started out as a second lieutenant. Within 2 years, I was, less than a year, I was a commander, which means I had legal authority to hold people accountable to both felonies and misdemeanors, according to the law, the Uniform Coded Military Justice. And I had also had a previous law enforcement background. I have a college degree in law enforcement, work with sheriffs and police in not only processing evidence. In fact, I'd even dealt with a murder trial before I went into the military, and had, in fact, been trained on rape crisis management. And I left the military as a captain, a congressionally approved regular captain. So I got the nod from the military based on my records, which was I had an endorsement by a one-star general. I had a picture with a three-star general. I also had been selected as a administrative officer slash commander, like a human resource person, as officer of the year, officer of the quarter for a maintenance group, which is very unusual because maintenance was fully supporting of the military combat fighter pilot role. So to have an officer of the year selected for a maintenance group when my peers supported the primary. But again, you know, I'm one of those people that when I do a job, and I've always been like that, I bring all of my intellect to bear. And yet that's one of the things that is so truly disheartening about this, is the brutality that I witnessed and kept reporting towards children, spouses, is being totally ignored by our Congress to the level that we're talking. And then when I left the military because I dared to stand up and said no one had a right to rape me, brutalize me, and I was so shattered I couldn't even, I didn't even have the safety. I was not allowed to have the safety to even
cover. You mentioned that one-star general, he wasn't one of the ones who sexually attacked you, is he?
No, he was not. He was not. But okay. Please know, I mean, I'm writing a great deal of names and numbers and things like that of those who did. So, sadly, there were a great many people in very high positions. These were people that were, for the lack of anything else I can discern, these were white supremacists. And I witnessed racism, which was clearly inappropriate. But I think the other side of this is that when I left the military honorably, I would leave, and simply because I stood up and said, based on the rules, which was, and Senator, the senator from Hawaii, who's now died, in the 1987 Oliver North congressional hearings, Senator Inouye. He was a World War II hero in his own right. He said in Congress during the Iran-Contra scandal hearings, and again, you can go on YouTube and see it for yourself, 1987, one out of nine tapes for that. Senator Inouye said, "It is the obligation of all military to stand up and report immoral, illegal acts and to, in fact, refuse an illegal order and then to report it." And yet what I witnessed, it didn't happen. And,
wow. Well, listen,
and our military...
30 more seconds. I got to bring in my good friend, Dr. Short, before time run out on him. I hate to cut you off like that because you was really getting into it. I could feel it. But unfortunately, I can only give you 30 more seconds.
That's okay. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, if you know a vet, if you have a veteran in your family, have them come home. Have them be at home. Have them provide them safety. And also, see about if they're being given drugs, antidepressants from the VA. Please check with someone you love and care about, a nurse or somebody like that. The things that they gave me, I will never take anything like that again. It didn't help me at all. It made it worse.
Wow, that's tremendous when you think about it. Wow, that's on fire. Yeah. Listen, I got to go, but, hey, I really, really appreciate you, and I got to bring in my good friend, Dr. Short. Dr. Short, are you there? Dr. Short, are you there? Okay, well, we got to move on. We got to leave Dr. Short wherever he's at and just let him be. And I just want to tell everybody that this is a golden opportunity for people to take things to a whole different level. And I know when you hear Dorothy talking, a lot of times people don't understand everything that's happening. But I just want to tell you that she's a person who's been through a lot. And we have to take this thing to a whole different level. We talk about the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King. It was a tremendous turnout. Any time that you could see that many people working together on a mall is a great success. Not because of the speakers, because of the people. I believe that the people came, they showed out, they stood up, and that's what we have to do. We have to figure out a way how we're going to bring people together. I know there's over a million TIs. That's correct. There's over a million TIs out there. And each time I go places, I run into TIs. And these are TIs that, you know, you can enjoy being with. We have to make sure that people understand it is important for us to work together. There's nothing more important than working together. They use that they got a tool that they use, divide and conquer. I won't let that happen. I'll move on. I use the term stick and move, because I'm there. Once I tell you, I'm out of here. I don't let anybody come and stop what we're doing. If that would have happened, we would never, ever had the opportunity of putting that pressure on World Food Corporation. Never. But to me, it was more than an opportunity, and we did, and we were successful. Those of you who are out there who believe that we can't do anything, you can do anything you want to do. The key word is we must keep our money in our pockets. Boycott, boycott, boycott. Boycott everything. Florida, we got people on the floor, people on the ground floor, actually doing things in Florida. We got people all around the country talking about this boycott. We got Stevie Wonder, Harry Belafonte, these people, Stephanie Mills, Dionne Warwick, all these people, and so many are on board now that we know it's going to take effect, and it's working. It's driving people nuts. Even the people in Florida, even them, some of the black people there are very upset behind it. That's okay. In this case, everybody is expendable. So we're going to get this thing done. It's going to take a while to actually get it all across the country, but we're going to do all the things that we need to do. On Tuesday, there will be a press conference at 11 a.m. at Bering County Jail. Some of you have heard of this guy named Scott Morris. He was a school teacher in the Benton Harbor school system, and then he became a deputy sheriff. He went on Facebook calling his former student the N-word, calling him all kind of names. The first thing we did, we got him terminated from the sheriff's department. Now he's moved to Van Buren County, where he's openly teaching there. I wrote them a letter. On Tuesday morning, Scott Morris and myself will set up a dialogue. We will start talking about racism. I really want to know how long this man has felt this way. I can't believe it just came up overnight. So my job is to make sure that this never happened again. So Tuesday morning at 11 a.m., those of you who live in Benton Harbor, you can meet me at the courthouse. I'll get there about 8:30 in the morning, but at 11 o'clock, we're calling the press conference. We want the news media to show up, and we'll take it from there. But we want people to understand that we're in a fight, a real fight. And there's no cowards in this game. No cowards. We want everybody to stand up and fight. We want everybody to do what they have to do. We want everybody to reach out, you know, and that's what we're doing now. We are showing the world what we are capable of doing. Fight back. And as far as the NAACP goes, the NAACP is the biggest joke going. Those of you who are always giving black people a free pass because they're black, we're going to run you over too. If you get in our way, our goal, our plan is to run you over. So don't get in our way. I'm talking to my black brothers and sisters who continually to give the NAACP a free pass. The NAACP is worthless, worthless. They're out of touch with the community. They have failed the community. Matter of fact, they are a buffer for the corporations. They're a bunch of sellouts. Vangelis should resign, and the board, and all the branches. All of them should resign. Right now, we have 10,010 cars that's already been burned. Next Saturday, I'm going to burn 250 NAACP membership cards. I'm going to burn another 10 T-shirts, another 5 hats. I'm going to burn anything that has the NAACP logo on it. I'm going to barbecue it. I'm going to put a little barbecue sauce on it. Let them know that we're serious about what we're doing. Those people who are out there, you got a whole week to mail me your NAACP membership card. Please mail it. Mail it. You can mail it to 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. Because we are in a fight for our life. So we must continue to fight this battle. And we got to continue to win this fight. Because we can win. And I want people to know that we're on top of what we're doing. And this is just the beginning. On that note, I'm going to bring my good friend in, Ralph. Ralph Point, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend. I'm listening to every word. And finally, I'd like to make a request of all of your listeners to go to lynnstewart.org and just click on. We need to spike those petitions, and we need to make the phone calls to Obama, Holder, and Samuels to expedite compassionate release for Lynn Stewart. Thank you, and thank you so much, Reverend.
And thank you, Ralph, for the work you do. We are so proud of you. We love you. And I just want you to, you know, just stay focused and just hang in there until I can get there. I'm coming.
Okay, great. And I'm going
to all right, Ralph. Talk to you later.
Thank
Linda
you,
Brown, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever your heart desires.
Pastor Pinckney, this has been an excellent show. And I want to know what kind of barbecue sauce you're going to use.
I'm going to use the pit, and I'm going to sprinkle it all over the memberships and the T-shirts and hats. And about a month ago, we burned about 100 and something cars in a plat. This guy sent me a plat from New York, and we burned that with a little barbecue sauce on it. I will always videotape them to show the people, you know, that this stuff is really happening. Because I tell you, Belinda, hey Belinda, let me ask you a question. Do you know Scott Morris?
No.
Because he was a teacher at Benton Harbor High School when you were there.
Scott Morris.
Right. You know, he's a white guy. He was a science teacher.
Uh-huh.
So what he did, all his students, he went about calling them the N-word on Facebook. And they brought it to me. And I gave his boss a couple of calls to let him know that we don't tolerate crap. And
wow,
they terminated him. So then he went from there to Van Buren County and started working there. So I wrote his boss a letter there. And he did write me a letter back, apologize, and say he wanted to talk. So I'm calling a press conference for Tuesday at 11 a.m. at Barron County Courthouse, where he used to work at. And I did that so he can understand that I want to go to his old workplace. So he can apologize in front of the camera and everybody else.
Well, Pastor Pinckney, you know what? Something needs to be done about that, because you're absolutely right. It's called passing the trash. They leave one place and go to another place, and then they cover for them. you know, instead of this stuff getting exposed. So then now he get the chance to go somewhere else and do the same type of torture to other students.
Absolutely.
You know, that,
and
something
that,
needs
that
to
was,
be done about that.
That was my conversation with him. I told him that, you know, let's just sit down and talk about racism for a little while so you can get it all out your chest. You know, and you want
to
call
you know
me names, go ahead and call me some names, and I'll call you a few
school.
Back. So we'll change a few name calls, so that way get it all out of your system. You know, that's what I'm thinking. But this was a very, very big moment because it shows that they don't want to deal with us, especially we put some pressure on them. So my goal is to keep applying pressure. It's not just here, it's anywhere. Anytime there's an issue, they know I'm coming. And I got an obligation to the people to make sure that even though they may not support the things that are going on, but I got an obligation to do exactly that. So that's what I do.
Well, is it possible that you can mention Pastor Pinckney on who should use this word and who should not use it, and also let the school know that they need to be held responsible too?
I'm in a dialogue with them also. I'm making sure that they understand.
They need to be held responsible because what they did was pass the trash. They let him go from one school to another school, and they should not have done that.
Well, you know what? They can do whatever they want unless we stop them.
That's
remember
right.
That.
Well,
always
you
remember
make
they
sure
do whatever
you expose,
they want.
You make sure
somebody
you expose what they did.
They're right.
Because that's the same thing they did with them rapists and them child molesters that at Benton Harbor High School. They just get these people and let them go from one place to the next and cover up that mess. It needs
that's
to be exposed.
That's what they do, but the buck stops here. Belinda,
that's right.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but we have no more time.
All right. So let's take it out there, Pastor.
I'm going to say goodnight
good
to everybody.
Show.
Hey,
excellent show.
I think that we're going to go over the 500,000 mark, and I think that we got a full board, but I got to say goodnight to all. We'll talk to you next week, same time, same station. We love you. God bless you now.